So what are you supposed to do between each Engadget podcast? Wait in silence? I'm Matt Smith, and every morning I walk through the day's biggest tech stories. It's short, relevant, and ready for listening whenever you wake up. Find Engadget Morning Edition wherever you find your podcasts, or ask your smart speaker for the latest news from Engadget.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Engadget podcast. I am reviews editor Sherlyn Lowe.
I am senior editor Devendra Hardawar.
And joining us today, all the way from Long Island, is our brand new commerce editor, Valentina Palladino. Hi, Valentina.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
You guys might not know this, but Valentina and I used to work together before in Gadget, so we're actually close friends.
Okay.
Today we're going to look at, now that we're so far into the quarantine, how tech can help us keep fit as we're holed up at home for like weeks now. There's been news this week that different fitness companies have launched new updates or new devices. We'll get into all of that. But before we do, though, please make sure you subscribe to us on your podcatcher of choice. Leave us a review on iTunes because we need to fight those one-star reviews. And if you have any feedback or comments, send an email to podcast@engadget.com. So yeah, it's been weeks now. I've been home, working from home, which I'm very grateful.
Describe your home, Sherlyn. Like, what do you call home?
So my home is literally that first house you get when you go to Animal Crossing.
Because everything is Animal Crossing now.
Everything is Animal Crossing now.
Wow.
Imagine this like little 4x8 square, which is what you get in... It's not a square, a 4x8 rectangle in Animal Crossing.
All you see is squares. You just see squares where you
all
drop down objects.
All you see is squares now. Yeah. Exactly. You pin them. And I have a couch next to a bed. That's literally my home. And I'm atrophying.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I'm sorry. So studio apartment. Basically.
Studio apartment. Yeah. I have plenty of room, don't get me wrong. But you know, it's not the easiest if I'm not going outside to stay fit. But thankfully, I mean, we have tech to help us, right? Like, we've got, I guess, teleworkouts. That's the whole thing. I hope someone
doesn't
take that idea.
Everything. Our last few episodes have been what? Telehealth.
And then
teletherapy and telegaming? I don't know.
Nah,
gaming over
just...
the internet. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know that Valentina has gone out on like solo runs, being very responsible while she goes out and stays fit.
I'm so jealous.
I don't know about you.
I mean, listen, I live in a 2-bedroom apartment, which isn't bad.
Okay.
And we have a small deck, so it's enough room for my wife and I and our baby to like run around and have space and not drive each other crazy. But I do feel really bad that, Sophia wants to go outside. She wants to go play. Aww. She wants to go to playgrounds. She was having a lot of fun doing that before all this started. And now we could say is like, we can't go outside. It's bad. Germs are bad. I can't even go out for a run because I live right below Prospect Park. And there's just always a ton of people out.
That's so disappointing.
Last week, we were able to like go out to the soccer field where there was nobody and just kind of run around a little. But yeah, going for a run is dangerous. So Valentina, I'm jealous that you have space.
Yeah, it's a new territory for me, honestly, because I'm typically an in the gym type of person, you know. But unfortunately, we can't do that right now. Understandable. But the neighborhood that I live in on Long Island, you know, we live in an apartment. My boyfriend and I live in an apartment. The setup is very similar to yours, Dev. But we are slowly driving each other crazy. So clearly
so
not
goes.
Doing as well as some other people. But no, it's been fine. But yeah, getting out, you know, once a day or once every other day has been really therapeutic for me because, like I said, I'm usually in the gym, so it's not an outdoor type of activity for me. But going out and running and like feeling the fresh air and like being outside for an hour has been really nice. Just like there's usually no one around because I'm usually just going on sidewalks, you know, around like houses and like, you know, little blocks and stuff. So yeah, there's since I go in the morning too, there's rarely anyone about.
Oh, that's
maybe
nice.
Maybe a dog walker, but that's about it.
You're a burgeoning, budding runner, and
yes.
Fitbit actually launched a device this week that might actually tickle your fancy, right? I mean, Fitbit this week announced a Charge 4, and the big thing about it is that for a fitness tracker that's $150, this thing comes with built-in GPS. At last! I mean, it's like people have been clamoring for the Charge series to get GPS since the Charge 2. Mm-hmm. And now it's the 4. And the Charge 4 even came like a year and a half late. So
what's the big difference? Because, right, I've used fitness devices that don't have GPS. You know, you still need an app on your phone to kind of control your runs when you're going. So, but you don't. The Fitbit.
You don't. Yeah, exactly. So you can leave your phone at home if you want. And because it has GPS, it will map your route as you're running. And then when it comes back, it can feed that information to your phone. And then it'll show up in the app, like how far you've run and, you know, fairly accurately tell you your distance. I mean, depending. I think, Valentina, you might be more familiar with Fitbit's GPS technology than I am because I don't push it as much during my testing.
Sure. Yeah, I've tried it. I've tried it on their other devices before, and it has been pretty accurate. Like, I have not seen any like glaring inaccuracies, like, you know, showing me as running, you know, maybe a mile less than I actually did. Like, that has not happened in my experience. But yeah, I mean, this is really exciting because now Fitbit will have a tracker rather than a smartwatch. That has a built-in GPS. So anybody who wants that form factor, a tracker rather than like an actual, you know, watch-looking thing, will have that option, and they can use the GPS, and they don't need to bring their smartphone with them when they're running, which I have found can be quite cumbersome as as I begin my running journey.
There are all sorts of solutions, right? Some people just hold their phones. I have this little like waist belt thing that I can slide phones and keys. I don't like the armbands, but people
use armbands.
I did use armbands in the past, and I don't like them either. Me neither. Right now, it's still like kind of cold.
You know what I use, and I think this might have to get cut out because it might be an SFW. Oh, boy. Boot pockets.
That's not that NSFW. Come on. Okay, so Sherlyn, but is this like one of the, you know, fabled Fitbit Google devices that we've been waiting for?
Oh, good Lord. Okay, so yeah, no. First of all, no. Let's just put that out there.
Wow, so strong.
Well, first of all,
why? Wait, do you think Google deserves better than this? Google, the purveyor of amazing devices.
Wow. Stop. You're triggering me right now. People know I'm a hardcore Google stan. But
I cannot wait for Google to ruin Fitbit like they've ruined everything else.
I feel you need to have a little faith in neither of these companies. Anyway, so Google did buy Fitbit last year. And a lot of people think that this is the first device to come out of the Google Fitbit collaboration thing. But let's not forget that deal is still pending regulatory approval. It's still kind of like sitting in development hell, if we use
a movie. This collab work takes a while too. Like, it would need at least a year of development and everything, right?
Oh, hells yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're not going to like get together and immediately push out a new device and be like, hey, this is what we just made. No, not because the teams are not even communicating with each other yet. And also, I can say that from like internals, from the side of dealing with them internally, if Google had launched this with Fitbit together as the parent company, I would have heard from Google. Like, Google would have been all over it. You would have seen it in their messaging. You would have seen Wear OS.
They would have produced like a 60-second inspirational commercial about what this means for changing lives.
We can cure cancer. I mean, hyperbole. Yeah. But
so Fitbit finally has a tracker with GPS. Is there, like, what else is missing in Fitbit's lineup? Because I do feel like we've talked about them as a company. We've talked about, like, the rise and fall of activity trackers in general. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that survived because they've been the most successful. They've been the Xerox of the, you know, fitness accessory
market. Right, or
Kleenex,
yeah.
So what else do they need? What room is there for Google to do more things with Fitbit?
I mean, I know Valentina probably has thoughts on this, but I'm going to go first. Fitbit, I think, lacks a more sophisticated operating system on their smartwatch devices. They have a lot of fitness know-how. I think they have good sensors and sensor tech. For fitness bands, they're the only ones making really... I mean, Garmin makes some good ones, but Fitbit really is the go-to.
Garmin, by the way,
makes some great stuff.
Pushing GPS because they're Garmin, but they've been pushing GPS in their fitness bands and everything forever.
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. Garmin actually has really good fitness tech, but Fitbit, I feel like, is in a weird space of straddling the line between wanting to be taking on Garmin and like even Polar and whatnot, but also going after the Apple Watch people or the mainstream smartwatch, multi-purpose smartwatch people. So to do that, I think that that's where Fitbit needs Google's help, where it doesn't have the sophisticated OS. The features could be a bit fuller built so that the people who are Fitbit can focus on really building out their fitness and health tracking stuff. I don't know. What do you think, Val?
I would agree with some of that. I think
Oh,
I love this.
I would agree with some of that.
Yeah.
You're lucky we used to be friends.
I think that Fitbit does fitness very well. And as far as I know, with Wear OS, Google does not do fitness as well as Fitbit does.
Yeah.
So I think that Google can benefit from Fitbit's expertise in that respect. And like you said, the sensors are really good. I think their hardware is pretty good as well. And I think it's been okay. You know, like it certainly there have been ups and downs, but I think that's, you could say the same thing about Wear OS devices, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know? So I think that, you know, Google can benefit from Fitbit's expertise in that respect. I would be very wary. I mean, I think I know what's going to happen, but I don't actually know. Like, my my anticipation is that the first big collaboration that Google and Fitbit do is going to be a full Wear OS thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
And I'm sad. Like, I'll be very sad when that happens, because while Fitbit OS is not the most sophisticated operating system on a wearable ever, they are trying. And one of the things that I really like about Fitbit and also Garmin in this respect is that they have really pushed things forward on the operating system side and not kind of just said, we're just going to make a Wear OS device.
Right.
You know,
like
a lot of wearable companies have just been like, we're just going to do Wear OS and be done with it. You know, we've seen even Misfit did that with the Vapor. You know what I mean?
So that really worked out well for them. Remember Misfit?
Oh boy.
And for me, as someone who has covered wearables, you know, for the past, you know, at least 4 to 5 years, like it's a little bit of me dies inside whenever I just see someone just kind of bowing to Google in this respect, you know, but I understand why they do that. So I do still like, I would still like to see Fitbit OS devices, Garmin OS devices, you know what I mean? Like how that, I would like to see that still, but I don't know if that's actually going to continue.
It's sort of the way that like Roku still exists, right? And Roku has their own like very feature specific operating system. They're not trying to be Apple TV and everything. They're not trying to be Android TV. I feel like Google's problem, and this is the thing I keep harping on though, is that they're trying to build solutions for so many different types of devices, and they're not laser focused on what they're trying to do. So Android Wear just ends up being like a slimmed down version of Android that can kind of power watches but doesn't do as much. Like, I don't think it's as reliable as Fitbit.
That's what Android Wear was when it launched, right? I think that Wear OS has made some improvements in terms
definitely
of at least
been
navigation.
Improving. Yeah.
I do think that buying Fitbit might hopefully help. And let's not forget, Fitbit also owns Pebble People. I know, RIP, RIP Pebble, which also I died
Talk
a little
about
when
a
they
cute,
died.
Independent OS.
But that could help, I think, Google, you know, improve, hopefully, Wear OS. I mean, I'm with you, Valentina, where I think that the first thing that comes out of this, like, team up will be very disappointing. I think it'll actually be a flop. But you brought up something that was a pretty good point, which is, like, Fitbit hardware, while it might not be the prettiest, in my opinion, actually is pretty decent. Like, it's pretty good stuff. So, and Wear OS has, like, sort of relied on Fossil to be the hardware people. So,
yes,
you know, maybe,
and that's a totally different sector,
good.
Right? Like, that's a totally different sector of the market, which is good. Like, I like that we still have that, especially since Fossil has the kind of like hybrid smartwatches, you know, that don't have like
gorgeous.
The big, like the OLED displays or whatever.
Yeah.
But, and I also forgot another player in the smartwatch game is Samsung. Samsung has Tizen.
Love them.
And I also really appreciate that Samsung still puts
doing
effort
Tizen.
Into Tizen.
But that's the
know?
Thing, because Tizen's actually better than Wear OS.
Tizen is better. You know what I mean? It's good. So, yeah, it's
So wait, what is the point of launching a wearable today? Because we're all stuck at home. Why?
I know. That was my first thought. And then I told Valentina, because Valentina and I took the briefing together. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wait, why are they? And then Valentina was like, you can do workouts at home. You know that. And I was like, right.
And also, I should say, like, I don't know this for sure, but just what I know about Fitbit is that this, like the Charge 4, with the update that we got, I believe it was in the works for quite some time. You know what I mean? Like, it was probably already in the plan well before, you know, our pandemic hit.
We were invited to a launch event that was supposed to be like March 26th. And then that was pretty much when they were going to actually announce a Charge 4. So they've actually pushed it back a little bit. But still, I think they've thought about it and they're like, people still want to keep like fit. And this is, I think the good thing about having a fitness tracker on, even if you're at home and not going out on your solo isolated, you know, quarantine friendly runs, you still want a fitness tracker on there to like remind you periodically to be like, get up and move. You don't want to sit on your couch.
Get up and move within your box.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, if you can, take a few steps, go clean, you know, mop your floor or something. You can pace around your house like a tiger if you want. But also, you know, you can use it to track your heart rate and like, that can help you notice if you're, I don't know, getting stressed out, but it also helps in home-friendly workouts like, yeah, weight training, yoga. It doesn't only track runs, the Fitbit Charge 4. It does track a bunch of other things. So,
like most other Fitbit devices.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. And even other smartwatches like the Apple Watch Series 5, maybe not Wear OS, but the Galaxy Watch Actives do.
And so also definitely. From a Fitbit's like perspective as a company, you know, Mother's Day is around the corner, Father's Day is around the corner, summertime in general is around the corner. I think that this device will certainly fill some voids in that area and also just be a device that they hope that people in the summertime will want to, you know, get out there and move. You know?
It's hard to think about. It's hard to think about.
Yeah, because it feels like it's so far away.
But... it's aspirational. It's like, we will leave this prison at some point, and I will use this Fitbit Charge. Yeah. What else? This thing could do mobile payments too, right? Which, when we're back out in public, you can use it to buy things.
So, so some of the key features, like we said, were like, you know, all of the GPS stuff, the heart rate tracking. You can use Spotify on the Charge 4, which is nice. But you also get NFC support for payments across the lineup. So what Fitbit did with the last Charge was to introduce NFC payments, but only on a special edition version of the tracker, which you had to pay $20 extra to get. Now, across the whole lineup for the Charge 4, you're getting NFC payments built in. Again, on an activity band, this is nice, right? Smartwatches have had this for a while, but on a band-style device, it's less common. And it allows you to use Fitbit Pay, which is accepted at lots and lots of merchants worldwide. I forget the exact number.
It's just an NFC payment thing, so it would show up like Apple Pay or Android Pay or whatever. I think that's a nice thing when you're out running because I think a lot of runners, I don't call myself a runner, but I do miss going out and like struggling to get 2 miles in or something. You would run with a little cash just in case you want to like pick up something, pick up a sandwich, pick up a banana. Now you could do this a little more easily. I think having more contactless payments is going to be really helpful moving forward because like, it's less... if I go out to the grocery store now, I still have to like hand my credit card to somebody and it all feels like that contagion thing of every surface is a vector that can kill you. So,
but I feel like you get a little impatient, Dev, when you feel like
I think it's good, but people struggle too much. I'm not a fan of NFC payments on smartwatches and fitness bands like this because people suck at it. Like it reminds me of going to the grocery store and waiting for like, you know, the grandma or somebody with a checkbook to like come out and write a check for 25 cents or something.
I've never seen this. I'm sorry.
I was going to ask, like, how many times have you actually seen people hold up their smartwatch to an NFC reader? Because I don't think I really have ever seen it happen in the wild.
In New York, like, actually in Brooklyn, like, it happens all the time. Because, when they moved over the whole payment terminal thing, like, it is pretty much most terminals support NFC. Not all stores enable, like, the actual contactless stuff. But I use it all the time because it's... if I go to like Duane Reade or something, that's like one store where I know I can pull up in my card. I could pull up my rewards card, hover near the thing. Yeah, I could pull up the rewards card in my phone, hover near the checkout thing, get that in, then do the same for my credit card. Yeah. And that involves no touch or anything. On phones, it's great because you can easily sort through all your cards and get what you need to get. On a small device, on your wrist, it's always a pain. And I've been stuck behind people many times working so hard to get their little watch to pay. It was like, your phone's right there. Your phone is in your other hand. Just do it so we can move on with our lives, please.
I mean, I'm with you because the whole target is smaller when you're using a watch. Yes. So it's a little bit harder to aim, but I think that it's much more convenient if it works better. It's much more convenient to just use
like
what's on your wrist.
We need like a fast gesture for it or something. Yeah. Like we just need a fast way for people to trigger it and know what they're paying with.
There is. On some of these smartwatches, all you do is press the home button for a little longer to pull it up, to pull up the payment card. But on the fitness band, probably not. It's not that simple as a swipe.
Don't even get me started with QR codes on watches. Why?
Oh, Lord, never.
Why?
I've never seen those don't work.
I also think that the using NFC on a smartwatch is very much a lifestyle thing, yeah, in the sense, yeah, that, yeah, people who wear their wearable all the time, you know, are always going out for runs or outdoor bike rides or something, like they're probably using it more often than the regular person,
for
right?
Sure.
So they'll have more experience using it, and then they'll know how to use it, you know, more quickly, I guess. So
yeah, you'll figure out after a while. Like, it took me a while to figure out where on the terminal to put my phone, really. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Look for the little wavies. I also really like newer credit cards have contactless as well. So if I don't feel like pulling up everything, I just like tap my card and walk away. That's nice.
I like the tokenization that Google, like some of these payment systems do, though.
They're more secure than swiping. Yeah,
exactly.
Always better.
But anyway, I mean, Fitbit wasn't the only company to launch a new device, or anyway, like the only fitness company to launch news. This week, I think Peloton, you were saying, right, Dev, did something new this week as well.
Yeah, I mean, they just the news just went out as we started recording this, but they've launched the Peloton app on Android TV, and that's also an app available on, like, you know, iOS devices, other devices. Mm. You can cast the Peloton app to your TV with Chromecast. You can use Apple TV, and it's just filled with you know, lessons and things that you could do. It feels like you know, the Trojan horse to getting you into the Peloton ecosystem, so that
Definitely.
You buy a device, which. Mm-hmm. If I had the space, I would not mind right now. Like, it would. I actually have a very cheap elliptical that I bought years ago, and it cost like $150, but it is
that
apartment
is very
size.
Cheap.
Yeah, it's apartment sized. It's lasted me a decade, but it creaks like hell. It's not like the best. It's not the most comfortable thing to use, but it's a really useful thing to have here in the apartment. But yeah, what other fitness devices would you all recommend today? Is it like basically stick with Fitbit or Apple Watch?
So there's a lot of home devices. People keep pitching me because sometimes I cover fitness tech. And there's a Tonal at-home system, which is it looks like a home gym. Basically, you set it up against your wall, and there's a video system and a camera that looks at your form. And then there's like a whole sophisticated weight system where there's like... it looks basically like the machine at the gym, which I don't know what it's called anymore, where you pull the thing and it lifts the weights. Man, that
well,
I could
make
be describing.
Let's make a machine, weighty pulley.
Uh-huh. And yeah, basically you can do a variety of exercises, and it'll like look at your form and tell you what you're doing right or wrong, and then tell you what to do exactly, which is fine. It's called Tonal. It uses AI because everything has used AI now. There's also the Regatta, the Hydro Regatta row thingy. It's a rowing machine. There's a lot of people who have rowing machines at home as
Talk
well.
Talk about having space for a freaking rowing machine.
Seriously.
The only time I've seen rowing machines is House of Cards, you know, like where you're a high powered politician that has a room you can devote to a somehow nefarious looking rowing machine,
like a full home gym. Absolutely.
Yeah,
they
take up so much room.
God.
it's nuts but it didn't stop people from showing them off at CES. Uh-huh. Lots of
What's
people
that?
Making those.
There's also the weird mirror startup, which
the
I think
mirror
looks like,
it's just called Mirror, and it's basically like the Tonal thing that I told you about, where you I've worked with basically all of them. It's a little funny.
It's
I
very
know
Black
a lot
Mirror
of these PR people.
Like, I think that's the cool thing, is that it's a display and a mirror, and
which I would use for the mirror part of it, and I would use less for the exercise part of it. That's just me. I just stand there and take photos. But yeah, so it's a similar system to the Tonal thing that I said to you, but a little less in terms of the equipment that they provide, I believe. But there's a lot of fitness gadgets you
there's
can get.
So much.
Peloton.
I miss, you know what I miss? I miss Jawbone. Before Jawbone fell apart, like the Jawbone up.
R.I.P. Jawbone.
R.I.P. Jawbone. They were, I mean, listen, they flew too close to the sun. They had too much venture funding and a lot of products that didn't work properly. But the Jawbone up and that like twisty band that it was, I love that thing.
Yeah,
so
I agree. Mm-hmm. I do miss them as well.
They were very good.
They were good. Yeah. They were good when they were around.
They were a good Fitbit competitor too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, and then they raised over $1 billion, I think. And then they just kind of flamed out because this whole market flamed out. And now, like, their tech has gone into medical devices. So maybe some of the things we end up talking about will be powered by Jawbone tech.
Maybe.
I mean, good
maybe.
For them.
One more question for you, you know, fitness gadget experts. What would you recommend? What is, like, the one device you'd recommend to people? Like, does it depend on your ecosystem? Does it depend on, do you want to watch versus a fitness band? Because there is a lot of crap out there.
You mean, like, tracking your fitness?
Yeah, tracking your fitness.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on your level of fitness fiendishness, I think.
Yeah.
I think
it depends on a lot of things.
Yeah. Your
And you know what? Actually, Velt's writing a guide to that. Hey,
yes, yeah. So at least it's a smartwatch guide, yes. So it'll only focus on smartwatches, not trackers.
Right.
But like Sherlyn said, you know, it does depend on a lot of things. You know, your level of fitness expertise is one of them. If you want a smartwatch or a tracker or something else, how does it fit into your lifestyle? And also the price. You know, there are a lot of really great fitness trackers and fitness devices out there, but they're at various really expensive. Wide price points, you know what I mean? So it just depends. But I mean, I have my recommendations, but Sherlyn, do you want to give like, you know?
So I mean, I think of the gamut of people that will be considering these things. And so you have the fitness crazy people. The Garmin Forerunner series is very good for runners. Mm-hmm. Runners swear by that. And you know, a lot of for most of the time, I think of my mom, right, when I'm buying shit. And hey, here's Sherlyn's weekly mom corner. my mom features in a lot of my Fitbit stories because she always wants to track like her heart rate, her sleep, and the steps that she takes in a day. But those are
this
very...
is where you got it from, Sherlyn. I get it now. Your obsession with numbers and stats. Yeah,
good lord, I got everything from my mom, all the bad things, my neuroses. But so she wants to track everything, and I'm like, okay, so I set her up with a Fitbit Charge 2 way back when, and she just could not get it. She just did not get that device. So I would say, though, for someone like my mom that wants all the basics of fitness band or a basic smartwatch is actually really good, get a Fitbit smartwatch, because that'll track more things than the usual smartwatch does and doesn't require you to learn too much of a complicated OS.
Yeah.
I'm sure Valve has a lot more for like mainstream users or like other types of people.
I mean, I have two that come to mind immediately. Mm-hmm. I would say that if you are an iOS user, the Apple Watch is the way to go.
Absolutely, 100%.
And I say that because, yes, it's expensive, but Apple has really done a lot over the past, particularly the past 2 years, to really make the Apple Watch arguably the best smartwatch that you can get in terms of features for the price.
Yeah.
It's cheaper than it used to be, too, right? It used to start at $400, and now what you
can get... Well, the Apple Watch Series 5, if I recall correctly, it still starts at $400.
Okay.
However, they're still selling the Series 3.
Yeah.
And that starts at, I believe, $200. And that's what I was going to mention, actually, is that, you know, if you don't need some of the really niche features that come in the Series 5, things like fall detection, I believe.
ECG.
The irregular heartbeat
which is very measurement, nice.
Which is incredibly useful, especially if you have like underlying health issues. But if you don't need those types of things, if you just want it as kind of a fitness device that also you can kind of like look at your smartphone notifications and, you know, maybe answer a few texts or something, then the Series 3 is probably perfectly fine for you, you know? But that was one of the recommendations. The other one I would say is Sherlyn. I'll just echo Sherlyn. Garmin makes a lot of really great devices, and I really do like the Vivo Active series.
Oh yeah.
They have quite a few in that range. But the Vivo Active in general, like while it has gone up in price over the years, it's because they have added a lot of features to the Vivo Active series. So I would say, like, if you're not an iOS user, definitely check out the Vivo Active series, because there are like one or two versions available now, and you don't have to pay $350 for one. You could probably get one for more around like $250 or something. And it's just, especially if you're really into fitness, you want to get better at a certain sport, you want to get better at a certain activity, Garmin is the way to go.
I will say Garmin is the Samsung of fitness makers, in the sense that they make too many damn things.
They make too many. I think generally higher quality things.
Yeah. Some of their lower end things aren't so great, but they do like have a lot of lines to look out for. So the Vivo Active that Val mentioned, there's the Vivo Smart, the Vivo Life, I don't know. And then they have the Venue, which is their smartwatch, but they also have their actual smartwatch. Anyhow, if you get confused with what Garmin stuff to buy or what watch you want to buy, look out for a Vel smartwatch buying guide, which should be up soon on our site.
Soonish, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we have all the devices we need to track our fitness, but are we doing anything that we can track right now? Are we? Are you guys doing anything? Or are you lazy sloths like I am?
Listen, I conceptualize exercising. Like, I think of wanting to do it, and that gets me there. That's like halfway there.
Your brain's doing the work.
Yeah. I will say, when I have time, when the baby like gives me time to do something that's not work, I try to do some like high impact stuff like real quick, like the quick like 7 minute, 10 minute stuff within my apartment.
Want to say this is like a tip that I think a lot of parents already know, but incorporate your baby into your workout. She's a weight. She's a dead weight.
She is a weight. That's so true. They really enjoy it. There are a lot of on YouTube. There are a lot of like exercising with your baby classes, which literally is just lifting up your baby.
Yeah.
She likes it, but it's also like, it's bad for your back because one thing I've learned as a parent is that my back turns to mush because you're holding this thing, which is very heavy. You're holding them a lot. And I think there's a lot of pressure like for when you're holding a baby is like, oh, I cannot drop this kid. I got to be really, really, really careful here. So I need to strengthen that.
There's people who are like wondering what to do at home now that they can't go to their gyms or, you know, going out for a run's not their favorite thing. And some people are looking for weights at home. And if you didn't manage to buy a set of weights, or you don't have weights at home, you can look creatively to things like, baby bench press Sophia, or, you know, you can use books, heavy books if you have them. People are suggesting cartons of milk or gallons of water, good like home substitutes like that. But
I mean, before you even get there, you can do like the basic 7 minute workout stuff, which is using your own weight,
body
against
weight,
you know,
exactly.
Start there and then move on.
So there's body weight resistance training stuff. As long as you have a wall, you can do a lot of stuff. But I mean, if you don't really know where to start, the internet has you covered. In fact, YouTube has you covered. have you heard of the good YouTube, I guess, which has come through apparently. Dev was telling me just now that like YouTube exercise videos are your thing, right, Dev?
Well, they're my wife. I want to like show her a couple different things, so she's been searching around for things. There's there's like a couple called Mr. and Mrs. Muscle, I think, that I think
that's
is
so
really
funny.
Fun.
It's a good name.
They're really fun, and they have like very nice exercise and also low impact stuff for if you have joint problems. So there is a wealth of stuff you can follow on YouTube. Really find whatever you like that gets you up and moving. I mean, listen, I bought Ring Fit. I've talked about Ring Fit on the Switch. It is one of the best things Nintendo has ever made, and weirdly, first of all, it's sold out everywhere now because it is the perfect thing to have indoors because you have the like Pilates ring. It's gamified, so you can do all sorts of exercises while also like going through an RPG-like world. I really like it. Sophia really enjoys watching me play it. I just don't have as much room as I'd like to like do this stuff sometimes. So I'd like to be doing it more. But I do think Ring Fit, for anybody who has a Switch, it is one of the best things you can get right now. It's worth like the $80 investment.
Damn.
Wow.
Do I need anything extra? Because I have a Switch. You know what I mean?
I do too.
Now I'm like,
Oh my God.
Such a ringing endorsement.
No, you need a normal Switch. It won't work with the Switch Lite because you got to remove the Joy-Cons.
I have a Switch. Yeah, okay.
You got to Switch, the real size. And it works best when it's docked because then you can actually see the game and exercise. So, you know, you want your Switch and your TV. And you want space in your living room to do like basic exercises. But I think it's worth it. I work up a sweat. I work up a pretty decent heart rate when I'm using it. So it's not as great to me as running outside and feeling fresh air. But when you're trapped at home, really, I will take whatever I can get.
For me, I've been using sort of like brands have been offering free classes online. So I have a whole list. Someone sent me a full list of like everything that's free and live streaming or whatever right now. So just in case you guys are looking out for it, Rumble, the boxing fitness class people are doing free IG Live workouts. I've been personally using my ClassPass video section a lot more. They're all free as well with I think just within the app. I'm not sure if you need a membership to ClassPass to use those, but those have been what I've been using and they're great. But there's a lot of other brands like Outdoor Voices, which sort of half problematic, but Planet Fitness, Peloton, The Body Coach, MyFitnessPal, Aptive, Fitting Room have all been doing free social media or free videos on their Facebook as well. So I would say if you like already go to a certain gym or if you already have a type of workout you like, it doesn't hurt to like look up the brand of the biggest name in that space and see what they might be doing. I tried to look up if Equinox is doing anything and actually I don't think they are, which is kind of strange. Or maybe it's a members only thing. But yeah, I also go to Instagram a lot for
I was going to say Instagram. Yeah.
workout inspo, right? I mean,
yeah. I mean, I don't follow too many workout inspiration accounts,
yeah.
But I do follow a couple. And if you look for the right hashtags, yeah. I mean, you can find just, you know, video upon video of, you know, just like single movements, you know what I mean? So you can see it on a loop, like how you're supposed to do this particular exercise, you know what I mean? And you can kind of create your own routine. If you're like, for me, I am that type of person where I'll be like, okay, I want to work out like my core today. Yeah. So I'll make sure I know like certain core exercises and I'll go to Instagram sometimes and see if I can find some new ones that I could do in my apartment.
Absolutely. For me, I follow Yoga Tutorials. That's like the name of their account. There's also this account called, and these are all influencers. We're getting to the point where we're just talking about influencers now, but Train with Joan. I like her a lot. She's a 75-year-old woman who is in the best shape she's ever been in her life. And she's just such an inspiration. She started working out in her 60s or late 60s and because her health was getting bad. And she's like the most muscular. She just is an inspiration. She started doing free live workouts on Instagram Live as well. But she's also showing off like some workouts that she's you can do at home. And these are also going to be low impact stuff for people who have mobility issues. There's just so much out there that you can go to.
Yeah.
I just have been doing yoga at home, but also I have a tiny apartment, so I'm crashing into my furniture.
stay active, I'd say. We mentioned Peloton, by the way. There are other alternatives.
For sure.
Perhaps not the best thing to get shipped to you right now, but I'm looking at like what Wirecutter likes for indoor cycles, and I like the Diamondback 1260 SC. If you don't want the full Peloton price plus paying for their subscription, like there are a lot of other options. Which I, you know, whenever I get the heck out of New York, I really want to get something like that to have within, you know, maybe I hope I have a basement. Like, just give me that.
Good Lord, you were so excited for your basement.
Listen, the whole pandemic has really reshaped the way I'm looking at the world. I want a basement. I want, like, a month's worth of food I can store.
Oh, man.
You know.
I dream of that. I dream of that. An extra freezer just for food.
Freezer?
I want it so bad.
Yes. Speaking of food and meat, like, what can we do? Do you guys have any food recommendations now that we're all trapped at home and maybe not ordering as much as we used to or going out as much for food?
I just want to say, right before we got to food, you know, I also want to say that you can also use Just Dance on your Switch to get some workouts.
You can. Just Dance is great. Just Dance is a very good game.
And
if you're lucky enough to have like an Oculus Quest or some VR headsets, you got some things you could do there.
And if you have also an old school DDR mat and an old PlayStation that can work with it, freaking do it. Because what better time? Well, put a rug down so you don't bother your neighbors downstairs. But, you know. DDR is also a good way to get moving. There's a lot of fun, creative ways we can have fun and be fit and, well, be moving during this time. But also, yeah, you're right, Dev. Like, a huge component of health and fitness is also nutrition. And during this time, I mean, as much as I want to support my local restaurants by ordering takeout all the time, that just doesn't feel practical. That just doesn't feel healthy, honestly. So I've been cooking. I don't know about you guys, but I've been just making a lot of Brussels sprouts.
I always like, in general, I'm someone who likes to cook, so I in general before pandemic life, you know, I cooked a lot, but one outlet that I would recommend that I think would be really good during this time is a website called Budget Bites, and Bites is B-Y-T-E-S. It's run by one blogger and I forget her name, and they also have an app too, but it's essentially all these recipes that are for people who are on a budget, and each recipe, it breaks down like the ingredients, how much they cost, and like per serving how much you're spending on these things, and like it's really good for when you want to just make a really good meal and something that's not doesn't always have to be plain, you know what I mean? It doesn't have to be like pasta, sauce, done, you know? Like, you can make really nice meals while also staying on a budget. So I think that's really pertinent during this time. But some of the recipes I've tried are just really good, you know? Yeah. And I am lucky enough where, like, yes, I do live in an apartment, but I have some storage space. So, like, I do have a lot of pantry staples, you know, like canned beans and, like, you know, just a couple of other things like that will stay for a while. And a lot of the recipes, like, you can sort by, like, those types of ingredients. So you can kind of find recipes that would fit what you have in the house already.
Nice. Yeah.
It's, I mean, it's never been a better time to start cooking maybe a little more. This is why we're the Bread Bros and the Bread Crew. What, Sherlyn?
This is my weekly dumb people corner now. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
This is a good time for people to learn to cook, yes. But do you know the number of fires that have been set in my building this past week has been off the charts? Wow. Off the charts. Wow. All these people just learning to cook for the first time. The fire department has had to send like an army of fire trucks and like ambulances to my building twice in the last week. Wow. All at night. Because these people don't... So guys, before you... I know you want to learn how to cook. And I know that this pandemic makes you feel like you need to learn a life skill. Just be so careful. Just be careful. Watch what you're doing.
Hot oil. Watch out for smoke in your apartment. Yeah. Like, keep a window open. There's a lot of stuff.
Metal does not go in the microwave. That's just metal. No metals.
No metal, no foil.
Saying this is someone with real experience.
A couple other resources, if you're subscribing to the New York Times, take advantage of the cooking app and all of their recipes. Like, all their stuff is so good. I am the stereotypical millennial obsessed with Alison Roman's stuff because I think she does a great job of, like, boiling down really simple recipes. But, like, go with what you know, look at your tools. Maybe you bought an Instant Pot a couple of years ago because everybody was buying them. Use it. Learn to use it. I made congee for the first time in the Instant Pot the other day.
Isn't it great?
It was great. And I threw in some like chicken breast pieces and like it was phenomenal. And Sophia also loved it because she's obsessed with rice because she's my daughter.
Oh, she's a good girl.
So yeah, she like it's a perfect thing. It's like one cup of rice and a ton of water, you know, and like that's a lot of food. Yeah. That will feed you for a while. I'd recommend so many things. The cooking app has gotten me through a lot of places. What's up, Shalyn?
I will say one more thing to recommend about home cooking is I think BuzzFeed Tasty does a really great job of being creative. Mm-hmm. So you can do like three ingredient things, like three ingredient peanut butter cookies, three ingredient things, or microwave cupcakes that you like really use so few ingredients and you can create a quick, exciting meal anyway. Like Valentina said, it doesn't always have to be pasta and sauce. Mm-hmm. But I do think that we shouldn't forget that like once or twice try to support local businesses. Yes. If you don't buy a gift card, order takeout, because those are still going on.
Order your delivery. Tip very well if you're lucky enough to be living at home. Yeah. By the way, BuzzFeed Tasty, there's some good stuff there. There are also plenty of things that I feel like are horrific crimes against food, and I'm talking about that lasagna that is like a casserole with many different things and there's like Oreos inside. I feel like they create these videos just to make people angry on social media, which is what happens. Like everyone tweets it around.
You know what that reminds me of? Good job, Tasty. You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of Chidi's chili with us in The Good Place. if you eat that, you will die, so don't.
Don't eat that.
Yeah, don't do that.
Okay, I'm hungry, so I will talk to you all about the things I'm working on, which for some reason you'd think during a global pandemic, like work life would slow down a little, just like give me a break. Not happening. I don't know why. So I'm looking at the Asus Zephyrus G14, which is one of the first gaming laptops with AMD's new Ryzen 4000 processors. So testing it is very, very nice. My review for the XPS 13, the latest one, just went up, and I'm also testing out that little mobile video app Quibi, but I can't say much about that just yet. It sure is mobile video. Shirlin, what's up with you?
I mean, you're doing a lot of the review work because there's a lot of laptops coming out. I'm working on something in the background that has to do with trying to be a social media influencer star person. Which really, if you've seen my first ever Instagram live, you'll know how awkward it was for me.
I got an alert about that, and I was like, really?
Yeah. I don't, not to like throw too much shade at you, Shirlin, but I'm not sure how much you can advise us about becoming a social media star.
Well, it's not all about that. There's an interesting twist to it that I don't want to like reveal right now. So we'll see.
Yeah. This is all taking place in Animal Crossing. You're actually on the photo island.
I'm turning my Amiibo into influencer. Yeah. But it'll be up hopefully next week, and I am off on vacation next week. It'll
enjoy your vacation. Fun. One more thing I wanted to mention, by the way. I worked on an editorial about streaming theatrical releases at home.
Ooh.
And how much I love it and how much I hate it. And there's a lot to talk into there. So I talked a lot about watching The Invisible Man, which is an amazing movie and definitely worth $20, even though it's a 2-day rental. So
holy crap.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So Val, what's up with you?
As Shirlin mentioned before, I'm working on an update to our smartwatch guide. So we're going to have up-to-date information about, you know, how you might go about picking a smartwatch for you. What are the features that you should look for when you're deciding what you want to buy? What price point should you be looking at? All that kind of stuff. And we'll include, you know, our top picks in there if you want some Engadget recommends options. And yeah, I'm just working on other, you know, updating other guides as well. Hopefully we can kind of give
you're
a
our guide
our
master
guides.
Now so thank you for that. Gotta keep them alive.
So grateful for Valentina on our team.
Well, you know, you say this is in a very early time. I joined the Engadget team at the end of February
before everything went to shit.
Honestly, it was I mean, I'm very grateful.
Good timing.
It was a good timing for me. But yeah, we're looking to update, you know, a bunch of guides over the next couple of months so we can make sure that our top picks are up to date and also give people, you know, good buying advice, you know, when they go looking for things like, I don't know, wireless headphones or noise canceling headphones and fitness trackers and computers and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, we're going to be taking a look at all the newest things that come out and see what should be, what's worthy of being in any of those guides.
Woo! All right.
So let's move on to our picks for the week. Fun things that will maybe distract us from the Armageddon. I have been playing Control's Foundation DLC.
What on earth is that?
I think I talked a bit about Control on the show at some point, but it's the latest game from Remedy. It is sort of like X-Files meets Twin Peaks meets like an action gun game. It's fantastic. It's not on Switch.
Yeah,
sorry,
Shirlin.
It is. That game can barely run on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Like it is very hardcore. It's very heavy duty. It is an amazing game. I love Remedy's stuff. I love the shooting, the superpowers, and the
superpowers.
You get superpowers. You can fly. You have like telekinetic stuff. To me, it feels like the gameplay of it, just running around and shooting things, throwing objects at things, feels so good and so satisfying. And, you know, this is something Remedy has been working towards forever with all of their games. I'm a big fan. Didn't like Quantum Break that much. I'm really digging the DLC because I think the world they paint in this game, it's so weird. It's a world where there's like a government organization dealing with the paranormal. And you, at the beginning of the original game, like you just go, you're looking for your brother or something, and you end up becoming a part of this organization. And I won't spoil the ending for you, but let's just say, like, yeah, you have a lot of leeway in terms of how things happen at that organization. And I love the storytelling. It's really weird and mysterious.
I love that.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'd recommend it to you, Shirlin, except, yeah, not Switch capable.
Can I play on a PC?
You can play on a PC,
but not
like, you know. Not
I know.
I have to say, I watched a Twitch stream of Control. I think the original Control game, not too long ago, and I only knew that it was a really popular game, but I watched it and I was enthralled. I knew nothing of what was going on, but I was enthralled. I was like, "What is happening?"
okay, I hear you. I mean, that's a good pick, Dev. I'll get a PC just to play that.
I can loan you a gaming laptop, Shirlin, and you can report back and tell us how much of a gaming girl you've become.
I used to play League of Legends. Okay, so for me, I'm gonna take over and be the film recommender on this week's episode. I was going to this is not really film, but I was going to maybe recommend Tiger King. I thought about
how dare you? Yeah, call Tiger King a film.
It's not
fun.
A film.
It's good.
It's an
experience.
It's a series. I will say that like I sometimes struggled this week a little bit to be like, what should I recommend? Because I wanted to say Tiger King, but Valentina was the one who recommended that I watch Tiger King in the first place. So I was like, I'm not gonna steal your idea. So then I thought, like, what do I know better than Devendra? And and I went with
debatable.
But I know some Asian films better than him. I know the Asian film market, I think, better than Devendra. So I want
to. It depends because like there are definitely some Korean films I had to like push you into.
Korean films, they're just up and coming. So yeah. I mean,
they've been up and coming for like
for
20
a long
years.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, every film industry has been up and coming for like a while now. It's just that it's harder for people to accept them until now. Anyway, I want to recommend, I mean, this week I watched a couple of horror films. I watched Aniara, which is, I think, Swedish.
I was going to watch that too, because go ahead. But it's sort of like the, it seems like the idea behind that show, Avenue 5, on HBO.
I see. Yeah, I think HBO might do a better job. Let's just say that.
No, it's not a good show, but go ahead.
Okay, but Aniero was not great either. The storytelling was kind of clunky. I think you should go for the depression you get at the end of
what
it.
What is Aniero?
So Aniero is about it's set in the future where the Earth is basically resourced out and people are leaving to go to Mars. And on one of these ships transporting, I want to say thousands of people to Mars, is a big spaceship. It gets knocked off course and basically they had to dump their fuel and they're stuck kind of in the middle of nowhere in space. Mm-hmm. They're too far away from any planet to get rescued. And so you're basically watching as this mini little civilization devolves over the years into complete madness. And it's very
another
intriguing.
One of those.
Yeah. Very depressing, but very intriguing premise. I just wish the storytelling were a little bit better. It started promising.
I've heard things. I know people say it was very, very bleak, which kind of turned me off. I saw it. That's on Hulu right now.
It's on Hulu. Yeah.
You can watch that very easily. I would say now's a good time to rewatch Sunshine, which I thought was an incredible movie at the time. And now, like, that movie is such a weird existential crisis.
Yeah.
Because it's like man fighting against the sun god that they've worshipped forever. But worth watching.
I will say though, a movie that I then watched that was foreign and I enjoyed was y'all know I talk about Kingdom a lot, and Chu Ji-hoon is the guy who stars in Kingdom, and I knew him from ago. So Chu Ji-hoon stars in this other movie called Along with the Gods. It's a Korean film. It's on Hulu. It's just really fun ride through like supernatural fantasy myth stuff. So basically Chu Ji-hoon is one of three Grim Reapers that takes this guy through the seven trials of hell to get reincarnated. It's very fun.
Yeah.
As you do. Yeah. You know, you might as well get through hell now. I mean, we might as well. So that's my first of many to come foreign film recommendations. You should stay tuned for more. I have a lot of Asian films to recommend.
Let me ask you, Sherlyn, is it an action movie or is it more of a fantasy movie? Is it CG heavy? Does it have real choreography?
Are you asking me these film talk things? Damn.
Yeah, let's do this. Just because I'm interested, and also I am very annoyed of like when, I think it was like post Storm Riders.
Yeah.
Post like that 98
movie. Storm
Riders
is so good. Oh, that's one of my recommendations.
I hate that movie.
But I was a child when I watched it.
Yeah, it is a very child movie. But it's like, man, show me, give me actual martial arts. Don't give me like bad CG pretending to be fantasy. But anyway.
So Storm Riders, yeah. So like Storm Riders, Along with the Gods, it's a mix of like, yes, myth and a lot of action in terms of like fight scenes. But the fight scenes, like you said, are heavy on CG. Mm-hmm. But I cried so hard near the end. I think in the sense that a lot of Korean and Asian films build around the idea of family being so important and like the cultural values of filial piety, you'll get like a full on tug on your heartstrings because of that. And that's what I stayed for. But I also just stayed to just keep looking at Chu Ji-hoon. He just looks so good. It's stylish. It's very stylishly done. The CG I like. The fight choreography wasn't the best. It definitely looks like they were like swinging fake axes at fake things half the time.
Yeah, I hate that. I just hate it. One more thing. Have you seen Shadow, Sherlyn?
No, not yet.
That's Zhang Yimou's latest movie. It is, I think the later half is beautiful and there's a lot of great action. The first half is like really weird, complex ancient Chinese court drama.
Nice.
Which I was not a fan of, but you know, check it out. It's on Netflix.
Zhang Yimou's great. Who stars in it?
It is, just looking here, Deng Chao, Sun Li. Like, not names I normally
they're famous in China, I think, but not necessarily here. All right.
That movie has one thing, like one great action set piece of like knife umbrellas that I've never seen before.
Ooh,
so it's worth watching.
Wait, that sounds like Kingsman. Anyway. Lots coming.
Val, any picks?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, my pick is an app.
Good.
That I recently started using, I don't know, maybe a month or two ago. It's called Paprika. Like the spice. And it's a recipe manager, meal prep, grocery list app.
Ooh.
It does all of those things in one. And it's been around for a while. It's new to me, though. And I've mainly been using it as a recipe manager. So I do like to cook a lot. So I have a lot of recipes just like in my head, you know?
Same.
And I've tried so many methods of collecting them, either writing them down or, you know, in the old days, I used Pinterest, I used Pocket. You know, I've used so many ways of collecting them, but I think Paprika is the one to stay because it makes it so easy for you to collect recipes from different sources.
Mm-hmm.
So probably the best feature is, so let's say I have it for iOS. You can get it for iOS, macOS, Windows, and Android. So it's on all platforms. You do have to pay for it. It is a paid one-time payment app.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm on my iPhone, if I'm on, you know, Safari or Chrome and I see a recipe that I like, I can copy the URL and then go into Paprika and it recognizes that I have a URL copied to my clipboard. And it says, do you want to import? Yes. And it will import the recipe. It'll also strip out all of the non-recipe things. Yeah. So it'll strip out any it'll strip out, you know, all of the bloggy stuff beforehand that usually isn't on like recipe blogs and stuff. And it'll just get you, you'll have the ingredients, you'll have the recipe like steps like one by one. And any notes too. So you can just import that and it'll also take like a little snapshot of like a photo of one of the like a completed part of it. So it really makes it nice to look at, but that's like the first step of it. But then when you want to go make a recipe, you can tap on ingredients to like cross them out when you've used them. You can tap on, you know, where it says simmer for 10 minutes and 10 minutes will start a timer. Like it's really intuitive in that way, so you never have to leave the app when you're cooking because you can set off timers and do all that stuff. You know, when you
let me blow your mind a little, Val, you can also, there is a shortcut in the iOS shortcut sharing thing, so you're in the browser, you could just like go up and hit that and send it straight to Paprika.
I have done that before.
I love it. It's a great app. I used to use Evernote to collect my recipes too, and I really like Evernote for writing. I don't know what the hell is wrong with that company, but for some reason, like, it cannot keep the cursor in one spot. So if I'm like, I just want to look at this recipe, it doesn't remember where I was. It keeps going to the top of the note. I don't understand what the hell is wrong with Evernote, but Paprika is very good. It is the like best cooking recipe app.
It's really great. And I mean, I'm one of those people that like, I'll try a new recipe, like it'll be like, my first time making it, but I'm kind of modifying it as I go.
Yeah, me too.
You know, like I just modify it to what I know I like and what my boyfriend likes, and just how I want to make it at the time. And I can, you can edit any recipe that you put in Paprika. So even if it's from another source, you can totally edit it, you know, take out things that maybe use substitutions for and like make it your own immediately. So I know, because that's for me, that's something that I struggle with, is that if I find a recipe but then change it, I don't often remember what I changed. You know, so that makes it really easy too. So yeah, it's, I haven't really used much of the meal prepping portion of the app or the grocery list yet, but there's so much in there. And I mean, for me on iOS, I believe it's $5. It was well worth the $5. You know, it's 100% a great app if you're into cooking and want to organize your recipes. Nice.
Last question for both of you. What was the last thing you've cooked during your quarantine time?
I'll go. I roasted Brussels sprouts and made a egg custard, like an eggy custard, savory egg pudding thingy.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's,
it's great.
Good.
Yeah. I used the last Thermomix. Thing.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, yeah. It was pretty good. Wow. Yeah. I'm surprised. I'll talk all about the Thermomix later on.
The last thing I made was actually really simple. It was just roasted sausage, peppers, and onions and potatoes, just because that's what we had in the fridge. And like, I try to use fresh vegetables when possible, you know, but it's not always easy to do that now to get them. But we had the peppers and the onions and stuff. So that's just like a really quick thing, like a one pan recipe that I like.
I did
to
that
make.
Last week with kielbasa and potatoes and stuff. Like, it was great. Sophia loved it. She was a little meat hound. Yesterday, I just roasted a chicken and like sauteed together some veggies. Roasting chicken is so easy. Learn to do that. If you're scared of cooking, like learn to do that, because you just literally salt it, season it. Stick it in the oven for an
Brussels
hour.
Brussels sprouts also easy to roast. It's like
Brussels sprouts are great. Put it all together.
To
put it all in one
just
pan.
Just stick things in the oven, guys.
Yeah.
This is what you should do.
This is true.
Not for too long. Not when it's smoking.
Don't set fires. Stop setting fires.
Oh, put a timer on.
Yeah.
Stick
come,
it in the oven.
Come back. Listen to your timer and come back to the oven.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, that's it for this episode, folks. Our theme music is by game composer Dale North. Our outro music is by our very own managing editor, Terrence O'Brien. The podcast is produced by Ben Elman. You can find Sherlyn online at...
Sherlyn Low on Twitter, only if you don't set fires.
And Valentina, where can we find you?
On Twitter, I'm at Valentina Lucia. That's L-U-C-I-A on Twitter.
Very nice. And you can find me on Twitter at Devendra. I podcast about movies and TV. If you couldn't tell, at /filmcast, at /film.com. So go check out that show. Email us at podcast@engadget.com. Leave us a review on iTunes. And please subscribe on anything that gets podcasts, including Spotify. And with that, we're out. Happy eating. Happy exercising.
Boo pockets. Boo pockets.